From the Gospel for this votive of Saint Joseph, we heard these words. Jesus also being baptized and praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape as a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those making their way back to tradition, to what has always been done, easily find themselves wondering about some of those old practices. The wearing of chapel veils for the ladies is often among these things. And so they ask themselves, do I have to do that? Is that really necessary? Well, let's just stop and think about an analogy that gives us a principle. When we're going through a garden or through some woods and we find a fence, we should not just tear down the fence because we don't understand why it's there or know what it's about. It may be keeping something dangerous or damaging from entering into the garden. Or it may be keeping something beautiful inside. So our tendency today, unfortunately, is that if we don't understand it, we reject it. Instead of humbling ourselves and saying, well, there might be a reason for this, and maybe if I stick around long enough, I'll find out. Now the veil is one of these fences. And how to see this? I want to turn to the 15th century mystic and victim soul, St. Lydwin of Schiedam. She comes to our assistance. We turn to the book on her by Thomas A Kempis, the man who wrote The Imitation of Christ. There's several biographies on this great saint, but this is one of them. And I think you'll see why this is important and why we shouldn't feel bad that we don't understand the veil. And at times, we have to be told what to do, and then we can grow. She was a victim soul in that she fell on the ice when she was 15, and she broke a couple of ribs or hurt her ribs, and then she never recovered. She just became more and more sick, and she received almost every sickness of the time except leprosy. She lay on her bed for 38 years, not able to eat hardly anything at all, something along the lines of the equivalent of 3 days' meals over 38 years is how much she ate. She could not sleep. She had something along the lines of 3 nights' sleep the entire 38 years. She could not die. She was a victim soul. It's an amazing story. This is from chapter 7 of the first part from Thomas A Kempis. She was wrapped by the Spirit who bore her to the regions of purgatory, where amid others whom she saw in manifold and grievous ways tormented, she also saw the souls of her friends punished, for whose deliverance and relief she afterwards cruelly afflicted herself in the body. When then she had seen with grief those purgatorial regions, the very many places of punishment, wherein the souls were tortured, according to the diversity of faults, God pitying her, she was led to contemplate the joys of eternal life. There indeed she saw how God Almighty enjoyed his own glory in himself, according to that saying from Isaiah, I am the first and the last, as well as this saying, I will not give my glory to another. She also saw how the holy martyrs, confessors, prophets, virgins, and other orders of the blessed enjoyed their glory in themselves, and for overflowing delights were mutually transfused into one another. That's a very interesting statement. By the way, this vision that she had was used by Jan van Eyck, the great Dutch painter who painted heaven. It's used all the time in pictures, a garden and all these different orders. This came from St. Lydwin, that picture. They were contemporaneous. When she had gazed upon these joys, many saints, addressing her sweetly, comforted her, and exhorting her to patience, spake thus, What trouble or harm is it to those who are here now, that in the world they suffered many adversities for Christ. So they were encouraging her to continue in her victimhood and on that bed of pain. Now here's the important part for us today. Then the most blessed Virgin Mary approached her in great glory and kindly addressing her, questioned her, saying, "Why, most dear daughter, hast thou come with head uncovered and unadorned?" Then the Virgin replied, "Most dear Lady Virgin Mary, this is the will of the Lord and my God, and thus my conductor, her angel, brought me here." After many familiar colloquies of the Mother of God with this Virgin, the time coming wherein she should return to her bodily senses, Christ's Mother addressed her in these words, "Most dear daughter, do manfully, and let thy heart be strengthened in the bearing of sorrows, because for these things which thou sufferest now, thou shalt gain wondrous and great glory." But the Blessed Virgin also added, saying, "Wouldest thou have a veil upon thy head?" She replied, "I cannot here have a will of my own." When therefore she had looked to her angel guide, and he, seeing that she resigned her own will, had consented that she should accept, "Receive," saith the Blessed Virgin, "this veil upon thy head." Okay, so there's a symbol here. Often we're being drawn to something very beautiful, to something heavenly. This is the closest thing we have to heaven, the Holy Mass. And we are, as it were, entering into heaven after the second consecration. And when we're there, we need to be veiled, is what Our Lady is saying. Why aren't you veiled? And then she says, "Well, I didn't know. I'm here. I've been conducted to here by the grace of God." "Well, here, have a veil." And so she gave her a veil. She consented. Now, this veil was covered with flowers and had a very beautiful scent. And she could only keep it for 7 hours before she had to have it returned. She had to put it back on the statue of Our Lady. But there's a great lesson here, it seems to me. As I said, when we're being drawn to tradition, we may not know these things. But once we see them, we should respond. And we have other indicators that this is the right path. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "Every woman praying or prophesying with her head not covered, disgraceth her head." So, for the ladies, we want to pray with our head covered. Also, according to the Roman Breviary, Pope St. Linus, the second pope, legislated, and he's the second pope, it's already in legislation, that women should wear veils in the church. So this fence has been around for a while. Like St. Lydwin, we may have been led to tradition, to heaven as it were, and are wondering how far to go. Sometimes we have to try something and see how it goes. We abandon ourselves to God, and He will provide the graces and the rewards. So I encourage you to get a veil if you do not have one, and not be afraid to wear it. And God will grace you, you will see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.